It's 5 and 10 from Skywatch TV for Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I'm Derek Gilbert. We're a little late with today's broadcast because I was in the dentist's chair this morning. Some pre-planned work, getting a crown put on a tooth down here that had some decay, but the Novocaine made it a little difficult to understand my speech until the last half hour or so. So thank you for your patience. Believe me, you didn't want to hear me try to pronounce anything about 2 hours ago. Topic number five today. What did Biden know and when did he know it? Reuters reports that Iran informed Turkey in advance of its planned operation against Israel. This is according to a Turkish diplomatic source who went on to say that the White House then conveyed to Tehran via the Turks that anything they did to Israel would have to be within certain limits. Within certain limits. Hello? I mean, what this means is that instead of the message Biden told reporters he gave to Tehran, which is don't, the actual message was, okay, as long as you don't damage too many buildings or kill too many people. Now, to be fair, a senior official inside the White House denies that it had any advance notice of Iran's attack. On the other hand, the White House blamed the attack by Iran on Israel on Donald Trump. Yes, on Saturday, White House National Security spokesman John Kirby, giving an interview, blamed Trump's withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal for the attack. Now, come on, the nuclear deal is a treaty. It would not have been approved by the Senate anyway, but the media keeps reporting it as though there was a deal. Yeah, maybe Obama had a handshake deal with somebody in Iran, but again, the Constitution says anytime the United States gets involved in a treaty, the Senate has to approve it by a two-thirds majority. That never happened. You wouldn't know that from the media. Anyway, so it's Trump's fault, as with everything else that's gone wrong in the Biden administration. And meanwhile, we are still, as of this recording, waiting for the promised response by Israel to what happened Saturday night and Sunday morning from Iran. Topic number four, the hostages. Meanwhile, on Saturday night, at the height of Iran's attack, Hamas rejected another offer for a ceasefire in exchange for the release of Israeli hostages. Those hostages have been there more than 190 days at this point. In response, Hamas demanded that Israel end its military actions entirely and for good before any hostages are released. According to the Hamas proposal, no hostages would be released until the second and third phases of this period, each of them also lasting 6 weeks. So 6 weeks before any hostages would be released, and then hostages at the end of 6 weeks, and then again at the end of 12 weeks. In exchange, Hamas wants Israel to release between 700 and 1,000 security prisoners. Hamas demanding the release of 30 Palestinian Arabs for each civilian hostage, 50 security prisoners per female captive soldier, of whom 30 would be prisoners serving life sentences in prison for life because they killed people. Now, media reports cited an Israeli official as saying that Hamas is now only prepared to release 20 humanitarian hostages in exchange for hundreds of convicted Palestinian Arab terrorists. According to a source within Hamas, the reason is that there may not be more than 20 of them alive. Topic number three. With a government like this, who needs enemies? The impeachment trial of Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas ended before it began yesterday, Wednesday. Lasted less than 3 hours as Democrats moved quickly to dismiss the charges brought by the House of Representatives as unconstitutional. The outcome was widely expected. They were not going to get the votes needed to impeach or convict Mayorkas. He was impeached, but he was not going to be convicted. You needed, again, two-thirds majority. Less clear was how quickly Senate Democrats would be able to close up the proceedings. Now, Republicans blame Mayorkas for the 10 million illegal migrants that have crossed the border since Joe Biden took office. Now, does that constitute on a legal basis high crimes and misdemeanors? Does lying to Congress and saying, oh, no, the border is secure while 10 million people are crossing it without consequence a high crime or misdemeanor? I don't know, but it suggests that Mayorkas is either incompetent or carrying out the policies willingly of the Biden administration, which is to let more people in, flooding states that are losing populations so that in the next census they will get more representation in Congress. Whether they vote or not, representation in the House of Representatives is apportioned by population, which does include illegal migrants. So the Heritage Foundation's oversight project, by the way, posted an image on X, formerly Twitter, of what they say is a flyer from a non-governmental organization operating in Mexico that encourages migrants to vote for president, for President Biden specifically, once they get into the U.S. The flyer handed out by a group called Resource Center Matamoros reads in part, quote, "Reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open," end quote. According to a journalist for an investigative news site called Muckraker, RCM founder Gabby Zavala says she's trying to flood the U.S. with as many illegal aliens as possible before Donald Trump is elected president. Now, here's the connection to Alejandro Mayorkas. According to the Oversight Project, quote, RCM bills itself as an operation which houses functions for Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, or HIAS, which helps illegal aliens enter the United States. And Mayorkas is a former board member of HIAS, which has received numerous grants from Soros Open Society Foundation over the years, end quote. We are not surprised. Topic number two, the return of the old gods. Italy is nominally Christian. Nearly 80% of Italians identify as Roman Catholic. That number is much larger than in other European countries. Germany, 25%. Even neighboring France, nominally Catholic, is only 60% Roman Catholic. However, on February 10th, a group of neo-pagans gathered in sweatshirts and jeans near the ancient Forum in Rome to unironically offer sacrifices to the ancient Roman gods, Juno, Jupiter, and Apollo. Now, the ancient Romans didn't leave specific religious texts that have survived the ages. Groups like this one tend to rely on historical accounts for how to practice their new rites and rituals. Now, many Italians are Roman Catholic in name only. They stop practicing their faith shortly after they receive their confirmation as teenagers. They aren't simply embracing an agnostic version of the faith. They are going full-bore pagan, replacing the faith in Jesus Christ and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in, well, Jupiter, Juno, Apollo, and the other ancient Roman gods. Pope Francis, in fact, told members of the Roman clergy on January 14th, Rome is pagan. The Pope encouraging members of the Roman clergy to consider the city a mission field. The number of practicing Catholics in Italy, like churchgoers around the rest of the world, plummeted after the COVID-19 lockdowns. The Italian National Institute of Statistics found that only 19% of Italians were practicing Catholics in 2022, down from 36% 10 years earlier. The number of people who never practiced their faith is now doubled over the last 10 years to 31%. Meanwhile, the number of neo-pagans in Italy has grown to more than 230,000. That is a 1.5 times increase over the past 10 years. In the United States, we've got 1.5 million pagans, according to a 2018 survey by the Pew Research Group. That is a huge increase over the 134,000 back in 2001. The old gods are coming back. And according to our friend Carl Teichreb, who's attended the Paganicon the last few years here in the United States, those who say they're in contact with them tell them that the gods are demanding their temples be rebuilt. You won't like it when it happens because the old gods are a lot bloodier than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Topic, well, coming up. story from Brazil. Weekend at Bernie's bank. I'll explain next on 5 and 10.
We want to make sure that you know how you can get your copy of this incredible new book in the Summoning the Demon Super Collection. This amazing collection includes Dr. Thomas Horn's final book, Summoning the Demon, Artificial Intelligence and the Image of the Beast, that reveals how tech singularity will bring an all-powerful artificial mind to life. The trigger event that will make 666 the mark of the beast mandatory overnight. What the future of a marked society will look like. The new face of transhuman supernatural warfare and how Christians must prepare for what is coming. But this incredible collection also includes, for a limited time, the brand new Dr. Thomas Horn Definitive Skywatch TV Collection. This unimaginable and historical TV anthology is valued at $99.95 all by itself. It contains a total of 96 episodes, over 45 hours of content on 8 DVDs, and is not available anywhere else or online, and includes classic series like Zenith 2016, The Milieu, Belly of the Beast, Saboteurs, The Wormwood Prophecy, The Messenger, Zeitgeist 2025, Legion, and more. But we're still not finished. You'll also receive Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm. This unprecedented masterpiece by legendary authors Dr. Thomas Horn, Terry James, Tim Moore, and others provides in-depth analysis of emerging topics like pandemic tidal waves, catastrophic weather changes, Mideast malevolence, and so much more. This unprecedented collection, sold separately, holds a retail value of over $140. Yours now for your donation of only $39.99 plus shipping and handling. So don't delay. You can scan the QR code on your screen right now using the camera app on your phone for instant access to this special collection. You can also visit us at SkywatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985 and ask for the Summoning the Demon Super Collection now.
Item number one today, this could be a corollary to our story the other day of the worst bank robbery ever. A woman wheeled a corpse into a bank and tried to get him to sign off on a loan in her name while she was holding up his head in front of the staff of the bank, who was very suspicious because the gentleman looked so pale. The bank employees started taking video with their phones and ended up calling for an ambulance and police. As she used her hand to keep the deceased gentleman's head upright and trying to, you know, move his hand to sign it, she said, "Look, Uncle, are you listening? You have to sign it. I can't sign it for you." According to the video, she was telling the dead man to grab the pen hard as she placed it between his fingers and encouraged him to sign a piece of paper. This was in a neighborhood on the west side of Rio de Janeiro. Bank worker witnessing the scene said, "I don't think this is legal. He doesn't look well. He's very pale." At which point the woman said, "Uncle, well, he's like that, but Uncle, if you're not feeling well, do you want to go back to hospital? I can take you back to hospital if you want." Police took her into custody. She's now charged with attempted fraud and abuse of a corpse. Skywatch TV's Countering the Darkness virtual conference is on. 90 days access, instant access. 90 days from the moment you sign up to 24 presentations, plus all 6 Skywatch films, documentaries. And again, this conference features the final presentation by Dr. Tom Horn. Take advantage of this today. Again, 3 months. You set the conference schedule. Watch what you want to watch when you choose to watch it. And you can do that right now at DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com. Artificial intelligence algorithms, they essentially control our lives far more than we realize. Everything from prioritizing who gets medical care to targeting solutions for the military to just a whole lot of things. Even a lot of the stories that we find in news, especially sports summaries for, say, smaller colleges, written by algorithms. Humans not needed any longer. How can this factor into an understanding of end times prophecy? That's the theme of the book, Summoning the Demon, the last book by Tom Horn. He had completed his sections of it prior to his passing. Joe Artis Horn and Allie Anderson, his co-authors on this. And that is the subject of discussion during the current 4-week series on Skywatch TV. You can watch the main program right now at our website, skywatchtv.com. You can also catch it right now at our Roku or Apple TV channels. Over the air, our broadcast schedule is posted at skywatchtv.com/channels, or you can watch it right now at Rumble, rumble.com/skywatchtv. Better yet, bring it right into your smartphone or tablet. tablet. Bypass the gatekeepers of big tech. And you can do that whether you've got iOS, Android, or Amazon Kindle Fire on your device. We've got apps for all of those and links to their app stores posted at skywatchtv.com/app. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.